JC Corcoran Podcast.
The man with the guitar behind me, and I've cued him to play, but he won't play.
His name is Dean.
Oh, you need
He was waiting to be invited.
Man with a guitar.
So basically, anything you say to the man,
that was great. Good job, Dean.
Here you go, Dean.
I walk around, man with a guitar.
We need, you know what? When we get back to St. Louis, we need this.
Yes, we do.
We need this guy to just walk up behind us and start playing, you know.
Hey, Dean, every time somebody says something funny here, which might not happen very often today, but let's hear
it. Sure. That was really funny. Let's hear it.
Oh, wow.
It might be the only time you play today.
And then you have to, like, you know, there's got to be some dirge, like, for a sad story.
That was supposed to be funny, real nice try.
You'll be using that one a lot, Dean.
Stay close, Dean.
Dean, you get paid to do this?
This is my job. This is my job, yeah.
Walt Disney World employs you, or the Animal Kingdom.
My day job is working at the Animal Kingdom. And they tell me about people. I walk around, like the folks who are in line for the show that I work is called the Festival of the Lion King. Uh-huh. And they tell me about folks. And I understand you guys are JC and the U-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a moment? Can I write a song about JC and the U-Man?
Well,
right
we have
here?
Names, too. Yeah. Laurie Mack and Jennifer Sparks.
Well,
but that's too complicated.
She's
not going to remember.
Yeah. It's JC and the U-Man, Sparky and Mack.
Sparky and Mack.
Oh, he didn't even need time.
We're ready. We're on. You man and JC, it's a fact. The ladies tell me they would not be nothing without Sparky and Mac. Now Sparky, she's the sweetheart, the baby, it's true. And Mac, when we need to know something, the boys come to you. It's gonna be a lot of fun at the Animal Kingdom. Think about all the wild animals you can see. Now Sparky and Mac, they were entertained, that's a fact. What are them wild animals out there? Why, that's you man and JC. Man and JC.
Great, good job.
Now that's an open.
Wow.
John, this is the best newscast you've ever done.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
7th of September here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? The people at Busch Stadium yesterday, I feel so bad for them. They got those tickets, and they're like, we got some tickets to see the return of Albert Pujols. And then they sat there for 9 innings yesterday, and Albert didn't get in the game. And there were 2 outs in the 9th inning, and they started chanting Albert, thinking that maybe the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers would be influenced somehow by their cheering and their chanting. And, of course, that didn't happen. Now, there's good news and bad news, because Albert is supposed to be in the starting lineup tonight. So whether you're going to be watching the game from Busch Stadium, you're lucky enough to have tickets, or watching it on TV, that's the good news. He's supposed to be in the lineup tonight. The bad news is, starting at about 6 or 7 o'clock tonight, talking about heavy downpours of rain. Now, will it be raining the entire time? No. So it's still possible that they can get the game in, but there's going to be a lot of rain. There's going to be a real lot of rain that's going to be happening between about 6 and midnight tonight. So let's see how the entire thing plays out. But boy, those people were pissed yesterday because Albert did not get in the game. The Cardinals have lost 2 straight. Not good, especially now at this time of the season. It just ain't a good idea to be losing games when you can't afford to. You're going after that final final wild card spot. 5 million Labor Day travelers over the holiday weekend. The Centers for Disease Control worried that this is going to result in a spike of COVID. They're probably right. I was out a lot over the weekend. I saw very few masks. About the only time I saw a mask is when I saw myself in the mirror. And there are people who give me funny looks. And it's sort of like, you just go ahead and give all the funny looks you want, because I got the fucking mask on and I'm doing what I think is right. And I think I will be borne out when this whole thing sort of plays out. I'll be damned if I'm going to make it easy for COVID to get into this gorgeous physical physique that I allow all of you to view in public on a regular basis. Willard Scott died over the weekend. He was 87, started on the Today Show in 1980, stepped aside in 96, but still appeared from time to time. I'm sure a lot of his followers are thinking, oh my gosh, 87? He died so young. Good morning, everybody. You see, he used to recognize people who turned 100. Never mind. Stanley Tucci, the actor. I don't think I've ever seen the guy give a bad performance. He was in a terrible movie. I went on this film junket to New Orleans. And, you know, sometimes back in the 80s and 90s when I was doing these movie junkets, you know, the movie studios call you up and say, hey, we got the new Batman movie, come to California. We got the new Adam Sandler movie, come to New York, whatever the case may be. And every once in a while, I told the story a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Lethal Weapon 2 and When Harry Met Sally. And they called me up and they said, it's going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia. I was not interested in Lethal Weapon 2, and they didn't even tell us about When Harry Met Sally until a couple of days before the trip. I went because I wanted to see Vancouver, British Columbia. And that happened from time to time. They had film junkets. The movie studios had a couple like in England. They had one that was in France, but I was not able to go on those. They had one that was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and I went on that one. That's when I blew out my back for the very first time because I was carrying too much junk with me. But, you know, every once in a while, I would do something completely lacking of any professionalism whatsoever just because I wanted to go to the destination. And one of the ones was this movie called Undercover Blues. Undercover Blues. Kathleen Turner and Dennis Quaid. And it was supposed to be this sort of campy, sort of a farce type movie where this couple, played by the aforementioned actors, were spies or something, and Stanley Tucci was trying to kill him, but they didn't take him seriously because they were so slick all the time and they just made a joke out of everything. And Stanley Tucci's character was, well, he called him in the movie he called himself El Muerte, as in, you know, Mr. Death, and they would call him Morty. He was like, El Muerte. Oh, sure, Morty, come on over here. The movie was so stupid. It was terrible. But I got to spend a couple of days in New Orleans. I'm not stupid. Mama didn't raise no fool. That was the time. John Goodman had already moved to New Orleans at that time, and he called me up. He knew I was there. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and he calls me in the hotel and says, hey, a bunch of us are going over to Aaron Neville's place, and we're going to hear him sing. They're going to do something. You want to come along? I'm like, sure. The phone never rang again. He never followed up. John was drinking back in those days. John treated me very, very well. I haven't seen him in several years now, but for those first few years of his career, you know, you got to remember, I had no idea who he was. I go on a trip for this movie called Punchline with Sally Field and Tom Hanks. And we, you know, we see the movie on a Friday night. Saturday morning, you get up. I'm looking at the notes, and they're like, okay, at 10:15, you're going to be interviewing this guy, John Goodman. And I'm going through the notes. I'm like, oh, look, he's from Missouri. And they didn't, you know, they had maybe 5-6 lines about him. So I didn't know who he was. And I come walking into the interview room, and he's like, JC, how you doing? I'm like, I just figured it was some actor trying to be funny. I've had people do that before. You hear my conversation with Don Rickles. He greets me like we've been friends for 50 years. So sometimes people would just do that to be funny. And I just thought that's what this guy was doing. I had no idea he knew who I was. And through the course of the interview, we start talking, and I'm like, holy shit, you're from Afton? What? So I put the piece on TV a couple of weeks later for the movie Punchline, which it's not a very good movie, but he was fine in it. And I sort of did the piece about him being from St. Louis. I made that the focus of the piece. Well, a couple of months later, I get a phone call from a friend of mine who's in the Busch Stadium press box on a Saturday night. And they're going, hey, John Goodman is in the press box right now. So I jumped in the car and I drove down and I came upstairs and I walked in and I knocked on the door of the suite. The door pops open and there's John and he picks me up. And I mean, easily he picks me up and starts hugging me. He had already been, shall we say, overserved at that point. And he was like, you gave me a fair break. You gave me a fair break. I guess his friends back here in St. Louis, when I put the piece on TV, and it was an extremely complimentary piece about John being from St. Louis, and I guess his posse down in Afton told him, J.C. Corcoran did that piece, put it on TV, and he made you look really, really good. And John was very appreciative of that. And for years after that, you know, whenever I would see him, he'd always give me, you know, like special treatment and stuff. I appreciate all that. I got some great pictures of John. But given the fact that the football season begins on Thursday with Tampa and Dallas, this reminds me when we went down to New Orleans, for the Super Bowl. And you have to understand the setup on this story, because I call him up and go, John, we're going to be broadcasting for a couple of days from right there in your adopted hometown, right there at the hotel, the St. Louis Rams. We'll be broadcasting these mornings. We'll be right there in the lobby. All you got to do is drive down. We'd love to have you down. Open invitation. We do a show on Wednesday, nothing. We do a show on Thursday, nothing. We do a show on Friday, nothing. I was very, very disappointed. And with about an hour to go in the show, guess what happens?
He just wanders in. No phone call, no nothing. I got a cell phone. I got voicemail, all this kind of stuff. He just walks in off the street. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. Up this morning waiting for these gentlemen to come in from St. Louis and accommodate them. And so I thought we'd wander over and say
hello. You do have a posse with you this morning, Goodman.
That's my posse, and it's Mr. Goodman.
You know, Karen Kelly and Brian McKenna, of course.
Hi, guys.
And John, I'm Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. All right, now, you moved down here how long ago?
6 years.
6 years ago. You had your wedding on a boat down here, didn't you?
They had reception on the boat, try to keep the Enquirer people off.
You've told this story on the air before, but not for many years. tell everybody what they did. The stories that you hear about the tabloids trying to break in and invade people's privacy on what, you know, arguably is the most important day of your life. They tried all kinds of stuff.
They hired hookers to infiltrate the bachelor party.
And the guy that
I won't mention the newspaper, the guy that hired him didn't pay him, so they ratted him out. And then they were paying people to sneak cameras into the wedding and stuff like that. They had when I christened my daughter, they sent some guy to sneak a camera in and try to. Oh, wham. Wham.
John, where did they find a hooker in New Orleans?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They brought her in from Iowa or one of the adjacent states.
How's that
cough button working?
What is it? What are the things about living down here that you're really enamored
with? Well, obviously the food. Yeah. At one time it was the 24-hour bars, but now that I live here, I can't get away with a damn thing. So that's out. My wife's family is from near here, and ever since I get two cents to rub together, I'd always come down here and hang out, and I just dug the music and the food and the people, and always had a great time down here.
And in fact, you were standing in one of the most famous bars in New Orleans when you were approached, if I got the story right, by your lovely bride.
My wife came up to me at Tipitina's Uptown. And said hello to me, and I couldn't figure out why such a beautiful girl would be talking to me, so I said something like, da-da. And we've been together for 12
You had me at,
That was it.
Your wife has a seemingly interesting or odd occupation for a woman.
She just started promoting boxing. Her brother turned pro last year, pro heavyweight. He did pretty well in the amateurs, and she started doing it for exercise, boxing, and got really involved in it. And she's promoted two fights. The last one was two nights ago. It was over at the Municipal Auditorium here in New Orleans. And she did quite well, so she's really getting into it. I'm trying to stay the hell away from it as far as I can so I won't screw things up. But she's having a ball.
Well, when you were growing up in Afton, the Big Red was playing, and, you know, it's not a secret that you didn't come from a family that had a ton of money. Did you ever get to go to any of the Big Red football games?
My brother used to take me when I was in high school. We'd go, in the 67, 68 season, we'd go every week and hang out and move the mic closer to my face. I had a pretty good time. It didn't cost a fortune then, though.
So what are you guys coming out this year?
Nothing. I'm doing some voiceover work, and I might do a play coming up pretty soon. I'm just trying to take it easy, try to get in some kind of physical shape.
There was a point.
I've been putting that off for a while.
We all have.
Most of the time you play good guys. You did a movie with Denzel Washington, and I think the statute of limitations has run out on this. The movie's 5 years old. You ended up playing the bad guy.
Well, at the end, devil or whatever the hell it was, the little Satan guy got into him and he possessed, and I got to kill Donald Sutherland, which a lot of the crew members wanted to do. I like Donald Sutherland. I thought he was a great guy, but I guess he rubbed people the wrong way. But, and then the little devil hopped into me, and I turned mean and tried to kill Denzel, and he fooled me.
Then you did a movie that a lot of people didn't see called The Borrowers, where you were doing that blue screen stuff. You had you had to work with like little tiny little Thumbelina type characters.
I was used to that from drinking a lot anyway, but. blue screen little people, and it's actually a pretty good movie.
What's the best movie you've ever made?
I don't know what the best one is, but my favorite is The Big Lebowski.
You know, for people who loved Fargo and loved you in Nicolas Cage, they got carried away. You get carried away with it by a twister, honey.
Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona. Thank you.
St. Louis. Kelly.
Beat the geeks.
And for people who were fans of the Coen brothers, The Big Lebowski, a lot of people just left the theater sort of scratching their heads. Why is that the best movie?
Not the best movie. It's my favorite. I just had a ball making it. The script was great. I usually have a great time working with them anyway.
So are you able to manage this okay, not living in Hollywood?
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. All you hear out there is business, 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 show business. But it's like living in Entertainment Tonight with Bob going and talking into your ear 24 hours a day. I'd rather live in a real place. And if I wasn't here, I'd be back home.
Brian McKenna, this guy, if I have this correct, you were a walk-on at Southwest Missouri State?
No, I tried to walk on, and I was ineligible. I mean, they probably would have taken me.
Why?
I was a warm body. I tried to get on. I was ineligible, and by the time I would have been eligible, I got into acting, and there were more girls in the drama department than there were in the football team. So I've heard.
I actually saw John one day. This was a while back, jogging down Gravois.
Oh, that must have been a while back, my friend.
It was. I'm from.
Nobody has a memory that long.
No, I recall that it was near the 11 Mile House.
Or the 10 Mile House.
Or the 10 Mile House.
Unless they opened a new place.
Just added a mile.
Was there a police car involved?
No. No. You had a gray sweatsuit on.
Oh, that was, I haven't run in 20 years.
Just guessing that was dark gray at that
Your
point.
Your posse got a big laugh out of that jogging reference, too.
Thank you.
Talk about who these guys are, by the way.
Kevin O'Leary from O'Leary's Fine Restaurant on South Lindbergh.
Love the fried pickles.
Yep, love the fried pickles. Bob Lenzen of Napoli Food. Thank you.
Cash registers, there you go. There's another one. Here you go.
Bobby Muckler. Bill Frisella of Metro Lighting.
Yep. Hey, Bob,
who do you work for? Who do you work for, Bobby? Besides Anheuser-Busch.
That's a good one. That's a good enough one.
All right, that'll work.
Sachs Electric.
Okay, so where are you going to be for Super Bowl Sunday? Are you going
in
to
front of my television.
You're not going to the game?
Nah, too many drunks with cameras.
Come here. You take a picture. You won't kiss my wife. You think you're better than me? I don't think you know better than I am.
Yeah. I think we've all been there, haven't we, John?
I just, get me a little bag of something healthy and watch the TV.
Now, John, for people who are, I guess the word would be offended, that you're not living in St. Louis. I know a little bit about this story, and I don't know how much of this you want to tell. You actually tried to move to St. Louis.
Yeah, it worked out the way I work sometimes. I'm away from home for maybe 6 months of the year sometimes, and my wife's family is from here, but believe me, if there was any way, I'd be there, because I just love St. Louis, and I really miss it. And I never get up there enough.
And there were some people.
And if they can be offended.
There were some people who didn't really kind of help you out, because I know that you were trying to build a place.
No, that was it. Everything was fine. It took on too big of a life of its own, and we were just better off the way we were. So.
Okay, let's talk a little football here. How do you like this matchup on Sunday?
Boy, that's a hell of a point spread. But I guess those odds makers know what they're doing. And I don't know. New England, surprising. That's out of that. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, this is the old Duffer Les Carmichael. Hi, sports fans.
How much of the Rams season this year had you gotten a chance to see?
I got the old satellite, so pretty much.
So you've seen everything?
The greatest show on turf.
Man. Who impresses you most? I mean, who when they have the ball or when they do something, just really when you just...
Marshall Fox, you know, he's an amazing cat. And cat. Hi, this is Jazz Talk. He's an amazing cat. And Warner, you know, and all the great receivers. And the defense they amped up this year. Aeneas Williams is wonderful. And falling asleep.
McKenna?
Karen? Well, I just want to ask him this, because we see the Rams players getting hounded throughout the hotel. And that happens to you 24/7. You seem to have a pretty good grasp on how to deal with it.
Yeah, I got a small army of security people that keep my children away from me. No, you just keep moving. And
how many people buy you drinks?
You can't let them buy you a drink or they own you. I bought you a beer. Now get over here and tap dance. And wear this here pickle hat on your head. No, people for the most part are nice, you know, until they get too much loudmouth soup, and then that's a problem.
Duff used that term. Karen Duffy. We had Karen Duffy on. She used the same thing.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she used the same comment, as a matter of fact. But there's something about your approachability. I think that's what it is. You don't go around acting
my
like...
drinkability.
Well, no, you don't go around acting Hollywood. You don't dress Hollywood. You don't do any of that stuff. And so people, I just think... they think they can just come up to you because you're John Goodman.
I'm going to go get me a beret and a cigarette holder. Back off.
What store do you go for that, John?
That would be the Hollywood store. Planet Hollywood.
The 24-hour...
Oh, wait a minute. They don't have it anymore.
The 24-hour beret and cigarette store. Who of the show business community would you count... is your close quarters? Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Clooney? We went up to Pops last week and caught the show. And Bruce said, what did he say? It was a good thing they mom paid for acting lessons instead of singing lessons. But he had a kicking band with him. And,
and
Ivan Neville. And it was a great time.
Didn't you go to Chicago with him as well?
Yeah, we stalked him up to Chicago, too. But yeah, it was a nice weekend.
Did you run into Dan Patrick?
I did, and I was by that time I was just fast asleep, and unfortunately I didn't blow him off or anything. I just didn't have a whole lot to say, but I was actually sleeping backstage. I was so tired, and since I've been on a diet, I don't have any excuse for it. I'm just old and fat.
John, I don't know what I ever did to deserve. How nice you are to me. You have been so nice to me over the years, and I don't think I say that enough. I go, oh, yeah, I talked to John Goodman today, or John's going to be on the show, or we're trying to hook up with John when we're in New Orleans.
Yeah, I get to the point. This will be the last one.
No, you have been so kind to me, and I just want to thank you in front of everybody.
Well,
you really do
a great job, man, and it's a pleasure to listen to you. And we get you on the internet now.
Oh,
it's kind of cool in the morning when I figure out how to work the computer machine.
Get the
machine.
Old WW going there.
Get the machine going.
Yeah. John, a pleasure to see
buddy.
You again.
Yeah.
Absolute delight. Thank you very much for coming by.
Man. Thanks for having me.
I've had professional stand-up comedians come in and do the show who weren't nearly as funny as that segment with John Goodman right there. Man, is he funny when he wants to be. All right, what else we got here today? Went to the beach over the weekend. Maybe you went to the pool and maybe you observed what I did. And we've talked about this here before, too, about how few people actually really look good in a swimsuit. Now, maybe it's the places I'm going. I don't know. And incidentally, I count myself amongst the people who start to look worse and worse with the absence of clothing. I'm in that group. But you sit there and you're watching the world go by, whether it's the pool or the beach or whatever, and people are going by half naked. And you're like, hardly anybody really, really looks good, you know, semi-naked. And the place where I was, there were a lot of Hispanic women. And oh boy, out comes the butt floss. And I'm surprised by how many, you know, teenage girls are wearing these thong things. And I wonder if it's sort of like, you know, any young woman who had a semi-normal existence in junior high and high school. You know the story. You know, you put on a tube top and then you put on a shirt and you go, bye, mom and dad. Okay, don't stay out till late. And you come back. Well, as soon as I get to the dance, off comes the shirt and it's just the tube top. And I think that's what's happening at the beach, too. It's like, okay, mom, we're going to the beach. Let me see you. Okay, oh, that's a cute swimsuit, honey. And then, you know, in the car, that thing gets stuffed in the glove compartment, and out comes the butt floss. But when you start talking about adults, you know, just so you get over the age of 40, 45, heaven forbid, over the age of 50, and there's hardly anybody that makes you just stop right there in the sand or on the pool deck and sort of try, you know, try to not get caught watching as he or she goes by, as the case may be. And there's a big difference between the people that you see at the beach and the people that you see, for example, at a hotel pool, you know, some sort of resort. Because if it is a resort or hotel, you know that those people just got finished having sex. Case in point, Megan Fox and her boyfriend Machine Gun Kelly hinted that they had sex on a kitchen table at their Airbnb. Megan Fox captioned a photo that said, "When I tell you that the table at this Airbnb saw some things, I'm really glad that's not our table anymore." End quote. Meanwhile, Kaylee Cuoco is back on the market again. Her marriage only lasted about 3 years, and so she will be available again soon. Go ahead. Take a shot. This story I'd never heard before. 48 years ago today, 1973, this is an Elton John concert at the Hollywood Bowl, and out comes the MC of the show to introduce Elton at the beginning of the show, and it turns out to be Linda Lovelace of Deep Throat fame. She introduced Elton by screaming, "Here he is, the biggest, largest, and most gigantic and fantastic man, the co-star of my next movie, Elton John," end quote. This is also the anniversary back in 78 of Keith Moon dying in London after overdosing on some sort of prescription drug that was supposed to have helped him whoop his alcohol addiction. He was only 31. He died in the very same apartment where Mama Cass of the Mamas and Papas had passed away 4 years earlier. Remind me not to stay there. This is a great trivia question because I don't think a lot of people know this. ESPN debuted in 1979 on this date, 42 years ago, for 30 points and the game. What does ESPN stand for? I'm telling you, I bet you very few people know the answer to this, because when they started this thing, when they launched it back in 1979, it wasn't just sports, it was also entertainment, and thus the name ESPN, the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network, again, making its debut 42 years ago today. 23 years ago today, the year was 1998, Mark McGwire tied Roger Maris for the single-season home run record, number 61, in a game against the Cubs. And 14 years ago, 2007, Barry Bonds blew that away. I can't believe this was 18 years ago. Warren Zevon died of lung cancer. Jeez. All right, birthdays today. Shannon Elizabeth from the American Pie movies, 48. Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live, 54. Margot Chapman, the lead singer of the Starland vocal band Afternoon Delights. Corbin Burnson, she's 64. I did an appearance with Corbin Burnson at Fairview Heights at the famous bar there, and he came in like on a Friday night, did the appearance, and was back on the plane like 3 hours later. I gave him a cardinal hat to wear. I was emceeing this thing. I was on stage with him, and I gave him a Cardinal hat, and he would not put it on. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Dodger fan and flat out refused to put the Cardinal hat on, even just for a picture. Chrissy Hynde, Pretenders. I love this woman. She's 70 today. Julie Kavner, Marge from The Simpsons, 71, and Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, 78. Oh, speaking of The Simpsons, I found the picture. I've been looking for this for years, and I was digging through some old boxes over the weekend, and I got a picture of me interviewing Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson. He was a classmate of mine back in, back in the... early 70s. I went to school, went to college with two famous people, Dan Castellaneta and also Robert Zemeckis. I was just watching Back to the Future again last night. Oh, by the way, one of the things I like when Back to the Future, one of those movies where I'll just stop what I'm doing. It happened again last night. I picked it up about 10 minutes in and just sat there and watched it to the end. The dishes had to wait. The cleaning up the kitchen had to wait. I was like, sorry, Back to the Future's on. I've probably seen the movie 30 times. There's movies I've seen more than that. And one of the things that happens after you've seen a movie 10 or 20 times, you start picking out the continuity errors. You know, when you're making a movie, there is a woman or a man standing there with a clipboard and a copy of the script and lots of notes. And what their job is to do is to sit there and watch as the movie is being made and make sure that there are no continuity errors. What does that mean? Okay, so if there's a clock on the wall that says 10 minutes after 9 and you shoot one scene and then there's 45 minutes where you have to wait before you continue with the scene because they're moving the lights around or something happened and they have to change something, you don't want that clock to read 45 minutes later. You want that clock. So that would be the job of the continuity person to go, okay, move the clock back to 9:12, you know, something like that. If one of the actors has their hand up, you don't want to continue the scene later with their hand down. Get your hand where it was when the scene was interrupted. Well, it sounds like a hard job, and it is, because you're making a movie, and it's just total chaos. And like I said, a lot of times, you know, there's you know, an hour or two in between scenes that are shot. And now you come back, and everything's got to look exactly the way it did, because otherwise, when they edit the movie, it's all going to be wrong, and it's going to look like a jumbled mess. Well, it's such a hard job, and one of the things is that you can't do it. It can't be done. You can't make a movie and have zero continuity errors. I think it's impossible. If you're doing animation and stuff like that, or, you know, one of these Pixar movies, that's different. I'm talking about a real movie with real actors. You're just going to have mistakes. That's all there is to it. And one of the mistakes is, well, actually, there's quite a few in Back to the Future. Like Gene Siskel from Siskel and Ebert used to talk about how one of his favorite movies, Saturday Night Fever, when John Travolta is walking, sort of running the gauntlet, coming into the disco club on Saturday night, he greets the same guy twice. One of the extras, who's supposed to be just be standing there as Travolta walks in, somehow got in a continuation of that scene, which was obviously shot later. So Travolta ends up greeting the same guy twice. In Back to the Future, there's quite a few of them, but one of them is, you know, Marty, Michael J. Fox, shoots the video on his camcorder, and then you go back 30 years, and Marty walks in on Doc Brown. Doc Brown has pulled the camcorder out, and he's watching a replay of what Marty had shot. He's watching that on his TV, and you see the cord coming out of the camcorder and going back into the back of the TV. Well, in 1955, RCA plugs had not even been invented, and televisions didn't have that little panel on the back of the TV where you could just plug in. Those didn't exist in 1955, and yet they're doing it. So you notice all these little inconsistencies. The movie is so good, who cares, right? One of the most exciting times of my life began on this date in 1984 at the Westport Playhouse, where a friend of mine who was an account executive at KSHE Radio back in the day had this idea to do a comedy series out at Westport. And so we launched the Westport Comedy Series. And the first show was Jerry Seinfeld, Larry Bud Melman, Paula Poundstone, and a comedian by the name of Will Schreiner, who was doing a lot of comedy clubs and The Tonight Show and stuff like that. And that would be the first of something like, oh my God, we must have done 20 or 25 of those shows stretched over the next couple of years. And we did everybody. We had everybody as part of those shows. Jay Leno, George Carlin, Sam Kinison, David Brenner, Roseanne, Yakov Smirnoff, you name it, we had that comedian out there. A lot of the Saturday Night Live guys, Dennis Miller. It was Dennis Miller, Kevin Neal, and Dana Carvey went out together. And so we did that show too. It was so Howie Mandel. We did everybody over the course of those several years. And the first one was on this date back in 1984. How cool. You may recall that very, very briefly, I spent some time at a radio station called The River. Well, this is what's interesting about it is that it started, well, the station had a long history of failure. It had been WMRY. It had been like Sunny 101, I think it was, Sunny 101. Then it became the Fox, and that's when I joined. And maybe, I don't know, a year into it, they changed it from the Fox to the River, and they changed the music and all this sort of stuff. We didn't really even belong there at that point when they changed to that music where those, you know, 26-year-old little girls who, you know, for lunch have a cigarette and a Diet Coke, you know, the kind I'm talking about. Play some Sarah McLachlan. And a woman that had gotten her ass fired from Magic 101, whatever it was, came in and began running our radio station, took over for the other guy. And man, oh man, this was like a drill sergeant coming into a radio station trying to run it. She was like the female equivalent of Sergeant Hulka. But you don't understand. It's difficult for somebody who's not in this position. But, you know, you talk to almost anybody who's in the radio business, and they will tell you that one of the things that attracted them to the radio business is the fact that things are laid back, and you get to have fun and goof around. It's not like a real place of employment. They might try to convince you that it is, but it's not. It's a continuation of high school and college, and everybody's screwing around, and people are throwing stuff at one another, and, you know, it's a radio station. It's one of the reasons we got into it, because that's what we wanted to do. We didn't want to work in some button-downed place where you had to wear a suit and a tie and, you know, just sit there and, you know, play the corporate game. You got to continue to be a goofball. Well, now in walks this woman. I'm going to clean up this town. And it was like, uh-oh, here we go. That was back in the mid-90s where David Letterman was doing it. He's giving away big-ass hams. Remember that? We got a big-ass ham. And she forbid us from saying big-ass big-ass ham on the show. And it was like, oh, God, here we go. And then the program director of that station, his family was still living in California. He had a wife and kids, but he was banging the midday girl. And as a result, she was basically allowed to run the radio station in exchange for Hummers, presumably. And we're trying to, you know, we're trying to navigate through this whole thing. And a number of the River radio personalities would go up on the roof between songs, and out would come the giggleweed. So if you were listening to the radio station back in those days, boy, there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that made it very, very, very difficult to survive. Yeah, but that woman got installed into that position running the River back on this date in 1994. Honest to God, to this day, my wife, who is 22 years younger than me, will start playing the 90s music, either in the car off the satellite radio or, you know, from Alexa or something like that. And it's like, I got to leave the room. 90s music does not present good memories for me. That whole decade was pretty much when I was, that was my first marriage decade. And the combination of the shitty music and a shitty marriage to go with it sort of gives me the creeps. And it's all triggered by my hearing music from the 90s. So I don't need any of that. The late night television talk shows come back tonight. Thank God. They've been gone for so long. Trevor Noah is on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Tiffany Haddish, David Chase. Oh, David Chase. That's Mr. Sopranos right there. And also Imagine Dragons. Kimmel coming back strong. Colbert's got Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. They have a new movie out. Patrick Stewart out with James Corden, which I believe that's a rerun. And Seth Meyers has Regina Hall. A copy of the Top Gun sequel was in the car that was stolen from Tom Cruise last month. It was recovered with the car, but it could have been copied. So watch for bootlegs of the new Top Gun movie, which, as we told you last week, has now been pushed back even further because of more COVID stuff. Two South Park movies are coming out by the end of the year. A lot of 9/11 documentaries are going to be running this week if you want to do that. There's also trailers for documentaries on Led Zeppelin and Janet Jackson. A Band of Brothers podcast debuts next Thursday, and Tom Hanks will appear in the first episode. Facebook, their artificial intelligence, presenting more problems than they were anticipating. Apparently, they're apologizing their asses off today, because apparently what happened is, and you know how that works, you know, you're on Facebook and you punch around and you look at an ad for carpeting, all of a sudden all these carpeting ads will start popping up all over the place. And the same thing happened in a way when people were looking up something involving black men. Facebook would come back as you were scrolling along and say, would you like to see more stories about primates? Whoops. That bug-eyed freak Zuckerberg couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And the Utah Highway Patrol pulled over a guy who had a large amount of meth on him. A couple of weeks ago, the trooper knew something was off when he noticed that the car had handwritten license plates. The driver also did not have a license. And with that, we'll call it a day. The September 7th, 2021 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com is in the can. Big thanks to Everett Marshall, our technical wizard. You can hear us. We publish every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, they are archived right here at jcontheline.com. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.